I just started to fill in, that's all. If you're ready, then you go, Father.
Base Kislev, Monday, the 24th of November, Rabbi Shimon Gurevich, on a Parsha theme.
Today, a difficulty that's often troubled me with Yaakov Zanhog in this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu, that parasha seemed to demonstrate a savlonus, a forbearance, a tolerance, which lemala, completely lemala miderech hateva, completely beyond us. You know, if somebody does a job of work, he works for a day for somebody, and he doesn't get paid, he gets very upset. If he does a week's work for somebody who doesn't get paid, it should absolutely be gefährlich. To work for 7 years and not get the wages that were agreed beforehand, that's something which one can only begin to imagine the pain and the anger that the individual will feel. And yet Yaakov Avinu, he worked for Lavan for 7 years, the agreed wage was Rochel Imenu. Vayehi baboike v'hinei Leah. He finds he's been tricked. 7 years of work for nothing. Not for nothing, he got laid, but not for the intended wages. And yet we don't find that Yaakov Avinu got annoyed. Doesn't say by Yichaf Yaakov Balavon. Didn't get annoyed at all. He turns around to Lavon. What have you done to me? And Lavon gives his excuses, and Lavan tells him, you know, work for me another 7 years. Do another 7 years, you know. Vayas Yaakov came, and Yaakov did so. The forbearance, the tolerance, is something which the Malamias of the Seinu, unbelievable, the patience and the forbearance that Yaakov Avinu had. And this continued throughout Yaakov's sojourn, Beveis Lavan. He was faced with various trying situations, which would have imagined, would have provoked, and angered him terribly. And we don't find that he got angry at all. We find he says later on, he didn't just do a job of work. Even when an oinus happened, something happened to the flock, for which I shouldn't have been obligated for, you made me pay. Even at night, when it wasn't my responsibility, if something went wrong, if one of the animals got torn, got killed, you made me pay. I endured the heat of the day, the freezing conditions of the night. He worked as a poil neemon. And yet, despite all that, he never got annoyed with Lavan. There's only once where we find that he got annoyed with Lavan. Right at the end, when Lavan suspected him of having taken the idols that trough him, of course he was unaware that Rochel had taken them, and Lavan chased after him, and Lavan threatened him, and Lavan searched through his possessions, it says as follows. Says Vayicha Yaakov, the Yaakov Vayorev Belovon. Vayicha the Yaakov Vayorev Belovon. So we find eventually this patience run out. After 20 years of upset, of torture, eventually, at this point in time, Vayicha the Yaakov, he finally gets annoyed. Yet if we look at Chazal says as follows. Chazal say, "Kapte nusum shel ovus v'leam v'nusum shel bonim." It's preference the anger of the ovus of Yaakov Avinu, as it says, "Ba'atas ovus shemo makris uptzoy mo yisham." Did he go and give Lavan makris? Did he wound him? Did he become violent with him? Not at all. Divrei piyusim Yaakov afaisas echov. Eventually, when he did seem to get somewhat upset, all he offered was words of appeasement, as it says, Ma pishi, ma chatosi, what have I done wrong? Mishash is called Kedan, ma mutsos, what have you found? Even in his anger, it was very, very, very low key. And in fact, it says, Vayicha le Yaakov, it doesn't say Vayicha af Yaakov. The Malbin in Sefer Karmel says, Vayicha af, That expression is used when an anger is directed towards another person. Vayichale Yaakov means frustration with oneself for having arrived in such a situation. So in fact, Yaakov never got annoyed with Laban. It doesn't say Vayicha af Yaakov with Laban. He never got annoyed with Laban. He was upset and frustrated with himself that he'd allowed such a situation to evolve. So we see that even after it all, Yaakov Avinu never actually got annoyed with Laban. Tremendous savlonus. And yet, we have a look at an incident earlier in the parasha. Rachel, who was the wife that was most choviv upon him, Rachel turns round to him. Unfortunately, she wasn't blessed with children. She was terribly distressed, and she turns around, she says, Hoveli bonim vim ayin meisa anoichi. A plea to her husband. Now, wonderful wife, a plea. Vayichaf Yaakov Lavan. Yaakov immediately gets annoyed. Vayichaf Yaakov Barachel. Vayim asachta lekim anoichi. Asher. Monim imeich privot. He gets annoyed with Rachel. And Chazal say, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach oynes hamu'ukas. Is that the way you speak to the downtrodden ones, to the oppressed ones? Chayecho shemonecho asidin lamoy defeid. Now, because of this haroinat, you should know in the future, your children are going to have to stand subservient to her son. So in fact, it appears that the Yicha Af Yaakov Barachel was out of place. He should never have got annoyed. And this is something I didn't understand. How is it possible that that same person, Grace Yaakov Avinu, who had shown such tolerance and forbearance with Lavan, 20 years he'd endured of a very, very difficult situation. Money had been taken off him. He'd been cheated. In fact, the Alshich makes a cheshbon that he was cheated by Lavan 100 times. He makes a cheshbon. And through it all, he kept his calm. He never got flustered. He never got annoyed. And here, Rachel says a few words to him. Vayichaf Yaakov Barachel. He immediately gets annoyed. And in fact, as we see in Chazal, because of that, Yaakov Avinu's children had to stand in a situation, a very difficult situation in Mitzrayim, subservient to her son Yosef. How do we understand this? I think perhaps we have to learn a little bit more about anger control. How did Yaakov manage it? How could he be so patient? How could he be so tolerant? How could he keep so calm under such a trying situation? Zeh HaKodesh says, there's something else perhaps we have to understand in the Inyan of Kas. Zeh HaKodesh says in Parashat Tzava, similar Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Hei, Kol HaKoyes, and there again we have to understand. Kas, Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is one of the Gimel Averis Chamuras. What's the connection between Kas and Avodah Zorah? Kol HaKoyes Kilo Eved Avodah Zorah. So we'll pose one or two more difficulties and we'll try and resolve them all. The Ramban says, Nigeres Ramban, in the beginning of Nigeres Ramban, V'hoser Kas Milipcho V'have Ra Rom ipsorcho v'chasheti notzel minakas tale al lipcho midas ha'anova. When you manage to overcome midas hakas, then you will find humility. Then again, we have to understand what's the connection between kas and humility. How do they connect one to the other? Why is overcoming kas an automatic possible to gaining humility? It's a connection between kas and gaiva. We find elsewhere as well. The Gemara in Pesachim says that the two midas which will cause a person to lose the koyach hanavuah. Somebody is koyas, nevuah mistalekes mimenu, and somebody mishiyesh legasas ruach, also nevuah mistalekes mimenu. Here again we see the connection between kas and gaiva, and nova and savlonas, and we've got to try and explain that. Let's first go back to trying to understand how Yaakov had such forbearance, how Yaakov had such patience, and what in fact is the way that kas can be combated. Chinuch says as follows. The chinuch of Mitzareish Bemalach, the Isav Leisikoim, the chinuch says, in the comma, which of course is related to kas, one gets annoyed, one has feelings of revenge, the chinuch says as follows. Mishroshe HaMitzvah, Sheyeda HaOdom V'yitin HaLibot. Person has to know Kikol Asher Yikrei Mitzvei Vadro, that anything that happens to him, be it bad or good, he's Sibbe Shetovei Elom Meis Hashem Yisporach. It comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nobody can do anything against him. Nobody can affect his destiny without it being the decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Al Kein, says the Chinuch, kishitzareu o yachivu adam, if anybody pains his fellow man, or a person gets hurt from his fellow man, yeida benasho, he should know, shehashem yisporach gozor olav bakach, that this is the decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The person who's causing him pain, the person who's causing him upset, is just a tool. But in actuality, that is a decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'le yoshis machshavoyisav linke mimenu ki hu enoy sibas ros, says the Chinuch. The way a person can combat negative feelings towards his fellow man is by coming to the understanding that whatever happens in this world is decreed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ein adam noikiv et spoil amata, ela im ki machriz anav m'nala. Everything that happens in this world is predestined by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore it had to happen, and the person had to experience that pain. And if a person takes that message and understands that message, he won't have the same sort of negative feelings towards his fellow man. It's a decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Chinuch develops this from David HaMelech. We find Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was a descendant from Beis Shaul. Shimi ben Gera came out, he was Mekal David HaMelech and his retinue threw stones. And Avisha ben Tzruya came along and said to David, let me come and chop his head off. It's a Moira Malchus. David HaMelech said, leave him. Ki Hashem omaloi kilel. Hashem omaloi kilel. He attributed the curses and he attributed the stone throwing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Leave him alone. It's predestined. It's decreed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, David HaMelech felt no negative feelings towards Shimon ben Gera. He says, leave him alone. He says, Achinuch, this is the way that a person can acquire savlonas, forbearance. A person can acquire the ability not to be upset by the actions of his fellow man. There's a story that's told, might be a well-known story, but it brings out this point beautifully. The story has still brought down the Sefer Hosekas Melibcho. Sefer which brings down various stories and anecdotes in reference to the Indian of Kass. A story told by Rabbi Chil Michal Mizlotchev. Chil Michal Mizlotchev, Yashin Tfilin, beautiful Tfilin from his father. His father was called Yitzchak HaMagid, and Yashin was a beautiful pair of Tfilin from his father. And there were many people who came and offered him large sums for this pair of Tfilin, this beautiful pair of Tfilin. And he always refused to sell. Such a beautiful pair of tefillin mudoras I've inherited from my father. Those tefillin are very precious to me. I'm not prepared to sell them. There was a lot of poverty in his home. There were times when they couldn't put food on the table. Clothes were difficult to buy. And at times his wife pestered him, you know, maybe now's the time, sell those tefillin. We need the money, we're desperate for the money. And he always explained, he said, look here, these tefillin are so precious to me. I don't want to part with them. To me, they're priceless. And he would keep them. One year, Sukkos came around, and the Menor Esregim to be had, and lots of the Menor Esregim, they had a Lovim, they had a Dasim, they had a Rovim, they didn't have any Esregim. So just before Sukkos, a person travels through Zlotchev, and he had an Esreg, a beautiful Esreg, he was prepared to sell it. He was prepared to sell it, but the price he wanted was absolutely outrageous, huge. So what did Rabbi Chil Mechel do? He took the Tefillin, sold the tefillin, raised a large sum of money, and he bought the esrog. And he comes home with a tremendous simcha. He's been zeicha now, not only for him, for the whole town, to be mekayim mitzvahs, dalad minim esrog. And he comes running home with the esrog to share his excitement with his bnei mishpocha. And the way the story is documented, his wife wasn't particularly amused. She said, look here, I thought these tefillin were not for sale, they couldn't be sold. You said they were so precious to you. We were starving, we had difficult times, and you refused to sell them. And now all of a sudden you are prepared to sell them. And in the ensuing confusion, the esrog fell down and the pitten broke. He said the following words, these are the words that are documented as follows. It says as follows in Yitzhak that B'chil Mechel Mizalotchev, now a shadow of anger passed over his face. He said as follows, Tfilin Eimni, esrog Eimni. This is the way he reacted. He didn't get annoyed with whoever caused the esrog to fall. I don't have tefillin, I don't have esrog, It's a decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam, I accept it with love. And this is the idea that the Chinuch is bringing out, that if a person has the ability to understand, has the ability, has managed to impress upon himself that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and whatever happens decreed from on high, and the upset he has to have, then that will help him overcome his negative feelings towards the person that caused him the pain, because the person that caused him the pain is only the Ribbono Shel Olam's tool. And perhaps with this we can understand, we brought the Zayah Kodesh, now what's the connection between Kaas and Avodah Zorah? What's one go through the other? One's a bad middah. How does that equate over to Avodah Zorah? I think we can understand the answers as follows. If somebody's koyas, if somebody gets annoyed, that shows, that demonstrates that he doesn't appreciate it, he doesn't understand that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's controlling his destiny. It demonstrates that he thinks that it's the person that's annoyed him who's done the evil, and he doesn't attribute it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's, so to speak, writing the Ribbono Shel Olam out of what's happening in this world. And that is the equation between Kaas and Avodah Zorah. Kol HaKoyes Kilo Eved Avodah Zorah, that shows a lack of recognition that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in control and controlling every aspect of this world. The only other midrash that we find equated to Avodah Zorah is, in fact, Gaiva. Gemara in Sotah says, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gasas Ruach Kilo Eved Avodah Zorah. I mean, that's the only other midrash. And the reason is because Gaiva also stems from a lack of recognition that whatever minors I have, whatever attributes I have, whatever successes I have, come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're not really me. So the truth is that Gaiva also connects to Avodah Zorah in the respect that Kol HaMiskor, somebody has Gasas Ruach, it means that he attributes his advantages, he attributes his good attributes, he attributes his success to himself rather than to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, in fact, it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, Gaiva is the only other midah that we find Chazal tell us is Kilo Eved Avodah Zorah. In fact, that's why Gaiva and Kaas are the two midas on which it says that Nevuah Mistalekes Imenu. Because he doesn't attribute the goings on to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he considers himself and other people as the actual poyanim, as the ones that cause what happens in this world. Therefore, there's no mockum for Nevuah. And that can perhaps explain the Ramban. Kashetinotze min haKaas, then one acquires midas ha'anova. How does one save oneself from Kaas, trying situations? The way one saves oneself from Kaas is by coming to the appreciation and understanding that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That nobody has the ability to affect anything oneself without the Ribbono Shel Olam decreeing it should be so. The Kiddush Shekhinah, therefore, if one is Tinotzu min haKaas, one realizes that message, then automatically Tala Libo Midas Hanover. When he realizes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in control and everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he will automatically acquire humility. We can now begin to understand how Yaakov Avinu could be so forbearing, so how he could demonstrate such forbearance, how Yaakov Avinu could be so tolerant. With the understanding that everything that came, everything that happened to him was in essence a decree from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it wasn't in fact Lavan that was causing him harm. With that he was able to have such patience and such sablonis. It wasn't Lavan, it was the Ribbono Shel Olam. He had to endure this. He had to work for 7 years, and he had to work for another 7 years, and then another 6 years. He had to be cheated with his schar. He had to have the Agnes Nefesh and the Tzar. This was all that was necessary in order for him to be Mekayem tafkid in this world. And with that understanding, with that recognition, he was able to keep calm and not to become annoyed at all. Now let's turn back to the Vayichaf Yaakov, the Rochel that we found so difficult. We were so tolerant. What's the Vayichaf Yaakov Rochel? Let's try and work out why did he get annoyed with Rochel. I think if we see where the Chareinaf stemmed from, we will understand that there's no contradiction in Yaakov Vinus Hanhoga at all. The Sipporn explains, why did Yaakov Avinu get annoyed? All she said was, Havali Bonik. What did she say wrong? Says the Sipporn as follows. Vayichal Omru Havali, Kilo Hoyo Biyodoy Lasoy says, if he is in control, as if he has the possibility and the ability to give her children the children she desired. The Kras Bekinosoy Lichvoyt Koyla. He felt that by attributing the ability for her to have children to him, as opposed to the Ribbono Shel Olam, she wasn't recognizing that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that runs this world, and it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that gives children to women, to barren women. And therefore, Koras Bekinosoi Lichvoit Koina. The anger that he felt wasn't because she'd hurt him personally. She hadn't hurt him personally at all. Not at all. He got annoyed because he felt that the Ribbono Shel Olam had been slighted over here. And therefore, Koras Bekinosoi Lichvoit Koinoi Vloi Hibit Laavosei Oiso Bazet. Says Sipuna, it was Poshet, a situation of Bekanois Kinas Hashem. If so, what did he do wrong? We saw from the Chazal that actually there was a punishment because of it. The reason why there was a punishment, of course, when we speak about Yaakov Avinu and Averis, it's all dak min adak on the Madreig of the Ovis. But the Rambam says in Hilchas Deis, in Perik Beis, if somebody sins, somebody does something wrong and he requires Teichocha, it says, if one wants to be Koyes Aleim Kedish Yachsur Amotiv, Yira atzmo b'fneim shukoyes. He should make himself appear as if he's been annoyed. K'tei liyasrom. But tiyadatoy miyushavas b'nei lebein atzmoi ka'odom shehu medame koyes b'shas kase b'ena koyes. A person must never feel feelings of anger, even if he's being a kanak in his Hashem, even if he's giving teichacha, and he feels it's necessary sometimes more to make an impression to show anger. He must never feel the anger within himself. He must only portray an appearance of anger. And by Yichav Yaakov Rochel, even though over here Rochel perhaps had said words that were perhaps correct to say, nevertheless, he shouldn't have got annoyed within himself by Yichav Yaakov Rochel. But now we can understand there's no contradiction in Yaakov Avinu Samchok at all. When it was relevant to pain that other people had given him, he felt no anger, because he attributed it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever tzar he underwent, whatever suffering he underwent, whenever Yotlovan cheated him, he attributed all the pain and tzar that he felt to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore he had no reason to be annoyed with Lovan. He had no nisoyan of kaas. But over here, he wasn't annoyed because of an upset that had been done to him. He was being mekaneh kinas Hashem. He felt the Maaseh Rochel hadn't given due recognition to the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Ribbono Shel Olam's powers in this world. And therefore he got annoyed. There's no contradiction between the two things at all. Perhaps it was incorrect. But the reason why he felt anger was because he was being mekaneh kinas Hashem. Whatever was relevant to his personal self, whatever was relevant to his personal hurt, he attributed it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore he felt no kaas, he felt no anger. It all came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he was being mekaneh kinas Hashem, that wasn't relevant to himself at all, he then felt chara enough. And that could possibly be the resolution to the difficulty in Yaakov Avinu's Hanhoga.